Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn and offer him the other as well. If anyone wants to go to law over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Maybe as a preface to the comment, or to commenting on this gospel, just a word about the Christian moral life, and in particular the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going through. One of the dangers is that we kind of see these, what's called the antitheses, where Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." We can possibly see these antitheses as a set of moralisms. So today, for example, we're told, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Turn your cheek. Now, go start doing that. You know, and then, so on your own flesh power, you're supposed to do more things. More laws, more observances, a longer list of things to do than even the Old Testament had. So what happens is, I don't know if you've noticed, sisters and brother, that that's not good news. That's just more things to do. But what is the good news? Well, the good news is that the Lord can give us a new mind and a new heart. The Lord can completely transform us. So then what is the Sermon on the Mount as the Lord goes through these lists of things? It sounds like he's saying, start doing this. Well, what I want to suggest to you that it is a description of what a transformed human person looks like, sounds like, is. What happens to a human person when the Lord really begins to live his life in them? See? And that's what the Lord is doing here in the Sermon on the Mount. Not so much giving you a list of things to do out of your own flesh power, but rather offering to you a new life. And a new life, among the things that the new life offers us, is that we'll love our enemies. That we'll won't want to divorce our wives. Imagine that. A new life will offer us the fact that we'll have authority over our thought life, authority over our sexuality. And today's antithesis that we're not going to be all uptight and hung up about personal dignity. All right, and we'll look at this in detail in a minute, but just to kind of set the stage that if we think that the Lord is simply saying, you heard that it was said, but that's not enough, I want you to do even more, and you think, oh my gosh, I got to try harder, grit your teeth, and dig your heels in and try even harder. Well, that isn't really good news, and it's not really what the Lord is getting at. The Lord is saying, I want you to understand what will begin to happen to you. When you begin to die, and I begin to live my life in you, see? So the old Adam, the old Eve, if you will, has to die, and Christ, the new Adam, has to live in us. And that is what the Lord is doing here. So one of the things then in today's scripture that the Lord is saying to us is that when he really begins to live his life in us, you know, all this, I'll get you for what you did to me. You said this, so I'm going to say that. You did this, so I'm going to do that. I will get back. I need to retaliate. All of that stuff's going to begin to go away. We're not going to be all uptight about personal dignity and things such as this. So that, in a nutshell, is what he's saying. But let's look at a few of the details and make some distinctions. You know, one of the problems with a gospel like this is that some of its implications, if taken in an absolute sense, would preclude some really basic things that we need. For example, it says, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Well, then, send the army home. Not just the army, but the police. Take all the locks off your door. You're not supposed to offer any resistance now. So you should let the robber into your house and take a man who's married. He's supposed to let the robber come in and kill his wife and kids and take all his things and then in the end kill him. He's not supposed to offer any resistance to injury. See what I'm saying? We can take a text like this to the extreme or to the absolute, and we're kind of missing what the Lord is really getting at. See? Now, again, some of the pacifists, you know, interpret this text in a very for a somewhat absolute sense, although I think even the pacifists would admit we do need a police force who are armed. I would imagine. I don't know. But in the end, what we see is that certainly I think the Lord is inviting us to be less retaliatory, even as a nation, even in the common good. But primarily the focus of this particular passage is our own personal dignity, not our personal safety. And let me just say why I say that, because the examples that the Lord gives are all about personal dignity. All right. Now, we'll look at that in just a moment, but again, let's just be careful then to note the context. The Lord is speaking primarily about personal dignity, not about necessarily social policy in a big way. Because again, another example of something that should have gone away and was apparently bad. Offer no resistance to one who is evil. Therefore, all those who engaged in the civil rights movement. Well, you see, they were offering resistance to evil. You're not supposed to offer resistance. Well, of course, that's an absurd thing. There is a time to stand up and resist what is evil. Not violently, but to resist it, to refuse to cooperate with what is unjust and what is evil. So let's just keep the context in mind. Now, I've said to you that all of these things are really about our personal dignity. The first one, most of us modern people think, is about a physical attack. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn and offer him the other as well. But we need to know a little bit more about that culture and that time, and even to this day. To be struck on one's cheek isn't so much to be physically assaulted as to have your dignity attacked. Because, you know, the idea of, you know, I think we have some sense of that. If someone strikes you on your cheek, you're not necessarily fearing for your life and running for your gun to protect yourself. I mean, what it is some sort of a personal attack on your dignity. So this example, even though it looks like a physical attack, and to some extent it is, it's really, what it's about is an attack on the dignity. Now, here's what the Lord says. He says, if they strike you on your right cheek, now notice, to do that, because they always use their right hand, they have to use the inside of their hand to strike the right cheek. But then, an even worse indignity in ancient culture was to be struck with the outside of the hand. It's an even worse indignity. And the Lord said, if someone strikes you on your right cheek, in other words, they attack your dignity, turn and offer the other cheek as well, so they'll strike you with the back of their hand. Don't be so bent out of shape that somebody called you a name, or somebody dissed you, or didn't thank you, or didn't recognize all the great work you had done, but they recognized someone else. Stop all that. You don't need to worry about that. Now, when I begin to live my life in you, you're not going to care about stuff like that. And if someone calls you a name or something, you say, well, of course, I've gotten away with a lot of sins in my life, and even if their charge or their claim is unfair, they call me everything but a child of God, well, what the heck? I'm mindful of King David. There was a man who came running up to David, and his general was next to him, and the man was throwing rocks at David and calling him everything but a child of God. And his general said, let me go and lop off his head for speaking to the king in this manner. And David said, no, I've committed many sins in my life, and perhaps the Lord sent him to me to humble me and to remind me that I'm not so great after all, because I can tend to think highly of myself as a king. And so he says, no, let him continue. Let him continue. And this is the kind of, if you will, invitation that the Lord is giving us here. Now, there can be times, though, that we need to defend ourselves against charges. If someone, for example, attacks our integrity, and such a thing will harm our ability to do the work we need to do. Take a parent who is accused of some very bad thing, and they didn't do it, and they have children who need to continue to respect them. And so it may be appropriate then for a parent to correct the record, so to speak, and so on. But without all the retaliation and I'll get you and all that kind of stuff. Now, again, there's an interesting thing to think about here in this striking on the cheek. Jesus was struck on the cheek by the slave of the high priest. He was on trial before the high priest, and the high priest said, I have put you under oath. Now, that's careful. Listen carefully. I put you under oath. So Jesus is under oath now. And the high priest said, I adjure you, or I put you under oath. Are you the Son of God? And Jesus says, it is you who have said so. And I am, and you will see the Son of Man. You know, and so on. And the slave of the high priest struck him on the cheek, and said, is that any way to speak to the high priest? And Jesus did not turn the other cheek. He turned to the slave of the high priest and said, if I have spoken the truth, why did you strike me? Now, why would Jesus not have just turned the other cheek as he says here? I want to suggest to you because the truth was in question, a real fundamental truth that all of us needed to be careful to know. And he did not want us to end up being confused or what have you. So in the end, Jesus, in effect, not only affirms it, but says that from your own mouth the truth has come forth to the high priest. Are you the Son of God? And for Jesus to have either said, oh, well, maybe I've spoken wrongly or just say nothing, and he's under oath, he has to answer. So it's not appropriate for him to turn the right cheek because your faith and my faith are in question here. He doesn't want us to be confused or disheartened. So you see the idea. These norms are good and fundamental, but they're not absolute. There are times that we have to defend ourselves. Now, but generally speaking, the Lord is saying, lighten up. If somebody calls you a name, let it go. Don't be so hung up about this stuff. Don't be my dignity. You know, just you. When I start to live my life in you, you're not going to care about all that stuff. That's the fundamental point. Now, the other thing that he goes on to say here is that if somebody wants to go to law over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. And then he goes on to say, give to the one who asks of you and don't turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. Now again, here too, we can be very uptight about our things and our money. You know, I'm praying that you sisters who live a very simple life have less struggles. I'm not going to say you're without them here, but some of us who are in the world, our things, my things, my what do you mean you want to borrow money from me? And we get all, you know, and again, it's kind of if a poor person comes up to us, we're defensive and fearful and we don't want to interact with them. And these are the things that we struggle with. And the simple fact is the Lord is saying, when I start to live my life in you, you're not going to care about all these things. If somebody wants to go to law over your shirt, just hand them your coat as well. You're just not going to be all uptight about this stuff. Now, again, there are some limits to this. Take a man who's being sued for something for he never did or whatever, and his wife and kids and everyone are threatened for losing everything. Well, he better go to court and defend himself then, you see, because others' lives are at stake. But we're talking about, you know, you touched my things and you, all that stuff. Personal dignity, you see. The Lord says, you know, look, when I start to live my life in you, you're not going to care about stuff like this. And the final example he gives is if someone should press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. The Roman soldiers could grab any Jewish male and say, you're going to carry this sack for a mile, or 1,000 paces, literally, is what the text says. And you're going to carry this thing for a mile. And they had a legal, quote, a legal right to do that, but they couldn't make the guy go for any longer than a mile. All right. So the Roman soldiers would often, just to oppress that, some of the Jewish men would just throw something on their shoulder and say, you've got to carry this for a mile. And the Lord says once again, yeah, go with it for 2 miles. Don't let this guy get you down. Be relax about these things. Now, again, very frustrating situation for them. But the Lord is once again inviting us to a kind of a freedom that doesn't get so bent out of shape about, well, how come I had to do it and he didn't, and all of that sort of stuff. So, in the end, it's a very wonderful invitation to kind of experience a lot of detachment from our own sense of our ego, my you know, position vis-a-vis other people, and how dare you say that, all that ego stuff, that egocentric kind of stuff that weighs us down. And the Lord is fundamentally teaching us here today, you can be free of this stuff. And when I begin to live my life in you, you will be free of it. You won't be all uptight about things like this. Again, with the proper limits that I've tried to sculpt today, because there are times, for example, again, I think of the civil rights movement, where after a while, the indignities became just outright injustice. People weren't just being called names. They were being kept from voting. They were being kept from being able to run businesses. Their livelihood, their children, and their grandchildren were threatened. And there just comes a time when you have to step up and say, this is inappropriate, and it has to stop. So there are limits to these things. Jesus is kind of using, I don't know if you're aware of it, but kind of Jewish way of speaking. You know, and there's a kind of an exaggeration, an hyperbole. If anyone wants to press you into service for a mile, go with them for two. So there's a kind of a way that the Lord is speaking. But in the end, we have to not, even though he's using a little bit of hyperbole here, we have to get the main point. But realize that there are some distinctions to be made vis-a-vis the common good. This is really what he's talking about, is our personal dignity. And again, we don't have to be all uptight about egocentric things. Amen.